Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Indeed, it is the Bill Press Show. My name is Peter Ogburn here with a podcast where, you know, we like to talk about as many things as we can on the program. And one of the things that we've been talking about for years is back in the news. It is the Stand Your Ground law in the state of Florida. A story that is very, very troubling. It's been around for a couple of weeks now. We want to get some details on it from Ngozi Ndeluye from the NAACP. She is the Senior Director of Criminal Justice Programs. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I want to start off with the Stand Your Ground law in general before I want to get to a very specific story that we want to talk about. The Stand Your Ground law in Florida, I think most famously people know it from the Trayvon Martin case and George Zimmerman, where we saw what happened there. George Zimmerman claimed the Stand Your Ground law, and he is a free man still. How effective has this Stand Your Ground law been over the years?
Well, I think effective for what? So effective for shielding folks who kill black people? Very.
Right. Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah.
Sadly, I mean, yes.
I think that there has actually, so in 2005, Florida really enacted this pretty expansive Stand Your Ground law. And what Stand Your Ground laws do is that they change the legal definition of self-defense. So everybody, you know, throughout history, criminal law has had some type of self-defense that you could claim if your life was being threatened and you reacted to that. But Stand Your Ground laws basically expand this, saying that you don't have a duty to retreat in public spaces. You didn't have the Castle Doctrine said you didn't have a duty to retreat in your home. And so what this has done, so Florida enacted their Stand Your Ground law in 2005. They even expanded it last year as well to say that prosecutors have to prove by clear and convincing evidence. So what this does is when folks are saying that this is a Stand Your Ground case, this could shield you from criminal prosecution, civil liability, even arrest when you have killed another human being. Now, that is something that, you know, on its face is race neutral, but
yeah,
we know that our world and our country is not race neutral in
sadly
anything.
Yeah.
And
sadly,
so, in effect, what we see is that Stand Your Ground laws are applied and actually successfully used as defenses much more often when the person who is being killed is an African American. So an Urban Institute study showed that it, you were 10 times more likely to be successful in your Stand Your Ground defense if you're the victim was African American than if they were white. So this is this most recent case with the death of Marquise McLaughlin fits very much into the same profile.
Well, you know, again, I think that this story rose to prominence and rose to where people actually really got a good look at it outside of Florida was the Trayvon Martin case, and the difference between, or one of the differences, I should say, between the Trayvon Martin case and this case with Marquise McLaughlin is we got to see exactly what happened with Marquise McLaughlin. At the center of this is Michael Draca, a 47-year-old man, and apparently he got into a fight, looks like a shouting match with Marquise McLaughlin's wife, the mother of his children, because they had parked in a handicapped parking space, and he walks up and begins yelling and carrying on. Marquise McLaughlin walks out, sees this man yelling at his wife. He pushes him to the ground and then walks away, starts to walk away. Michael Draca then pulls out a gun, shoots him in the chest, and he died. Father of three, died in cold blood. So we got to see what actually happened there. So the thing to me is, when we saw it, we saw just how ridiculous this stand your ground law is, because there was no threat, certainly no immediate threat. The situation had de-escalated. He was walking away from it, and this was just purely a guy, a white man, who pulled out a gun and shot an unarmed black man. And it looked like he was going to get away with it. The original story was that he was not going to be charged. But that has since changed, right?
Yes. So he has been charged with manslaughter now. So I think that there was a lot of outcry. And I think that you know, there were folks who were saying this is a misapplication even of stand your ground. But I have seen some folks who were saying, no, you know, this could possibly be an application, and this is part of the problem, is that the idea of saying, when is somebody saying, I was afraid for my life, is going to be sufficient to say you walk away as a free person without any, without a trial, is very subjective. We've seen that with the situation with the call that the Pinellas County Sheriff made, and we've seen that, and we see how that actually plays out in a number of cases. Another thing to note is that I think the Florida newspaper did a study, and I think they said 26 cases where the person who was the victim in a case where stand your ground was claimed was a child, was somebody under 18. So let's think about that, and let's think about how that ties in to what we know about kind of the pervasive impact of racial bias in our society and implicit bias, how, black children are seen as older, more culpable, more dangerous. So when we have this law that basically is exempting people from any arrest, prosecution, civil suit based on their fear, then we really have to think about how much fear of black people is kind of ingrained in our society.
I think that's all. Those are all like excellent points, and it's some of the things that sort of get overshadowed by the headlines with stories like this. You know, Well, let me ask you this. I have watched the video several times because it is so shocking, and it is amazing to see it happen, play out live in that way on camera. And so, like, what's the solution to, do we just have to get rid of the stand your ground laws?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we agree on that. Yeah. We agree on that. Like, we got to get rid of it altogether, right?
Right.
Like, we have to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at George Zimmerman, who went on to live his life after killing Trayvon Martin, and I think a lot of people started to get really, really worried that the same thing was going to happen with this guy, Michael Draca, who shot Marquise McLaughlin.
And I think that is a real that's a really valid concern. So just that because he has been charged does not mean that he's going to be convicted. So first of all, that the change to the law that happened last year means that in a pretrial, there was already this pretrial stand your ground immunity hearing, right? In a pretrial stand your ground immunity hearing, the prosecutor has to prove by clear and convincing evidence, right, that stand your ground does not apply. So there are a lot of legal hurdles that still remain before first even the person is tried for this, and then to actually get a conviction.
It's important to note, by the way, that he originally, I mean, it went a couple of weeks before he was actually charged.
Yeah.
They originally came out and said, no, this is Stand Your Ground. This is textbook. This is what it's for. And then it moved on to where the state attorney had to sort of come down and say, like, no, actually, we're going to charge this guy.
Mm-hmm. And that is, it really was also after a lot of public outcry, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, who knows what would have happened without that, but it really, if we're thinking about, you know, a criminal legal system that is actually dispensing equal justice, we know that Stand Your Ground really has no part in this. We've had, you know, over a decade of results. There have been a number of studies to really see what the effect is of Stand Your Ground laws, and we know that this is not something that is being equally applied. It plays into it. It's all part of the same spectrum as police being unaccountable for killing black people. It's part of the spectrum of black people getting the death penalty, honestly. You know,
sure.
Like the fear, like when you put all of this together, because that race of victim effect is the same type of race of victim effect as if you kill a black person compared to killing a white person, the difference about whether you get the death penalty changes, right? So way that our punishment is being applied is, you know, very much tinged by this. So we know that Stand Your Ground is not necessary, right? There is a self-defense that can be used when there are legitimate cases of self-defense. We also know that when it is actually implemented, that we have more issues. And also, I mean, there have been studies talking about the increase in homicide, firearms homicide in Florida since Stand Your Ground has been enacted. So, I mean, so not just, you know, racially disproportionate effects, but also wondering, is this actually making us all unsafe?
That's the thing. Take all the other factors out of it and just look at the fact that, just look at the numbers. This is not making anybody safer. It's not making anybody safer. That you cannot argue with that at all. Mm-hmm. And I also think that it is worth pointing out that, again, in the two highest profile cases of the Stand Your Ground law, Trayvon Martin and Marquise McLaughlin, two unarmed men, no weapons of any kind, and the law would allow someone to shoot them down and cite the Stand Your Ground law. It seems to me like that is not just a broken law, but just a ridiculous idea.
And I think we should also include the people where we saw that the Stand Your Ground law wasn't actually protecting them from prosecution, like Marissa Alexander, who fired a warning shot, and she's a black woman who fired a warning shot, right?
Yeah.
To protect herself from domestic violence, right? And this is the same, you know, situation where you would think, you know, for the Stand Your Ground proponents that they would say, you know, this should be applied, but still there was such a fight there. So I do think that.
By the way, if I could just stop for a second, just to make sure everybody understands, the Marissa Alexander case where she did fire that warning shot, she got 20 years in prison. 20 years in prison.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, and she has, you know, subsequently been released, right?
Yeah.
But that was after a lot of fight.
Yeah.
You know, that was after the fact. But this was clearly, you know, not, she was specifically denied the Stand Your Ground immunity, saying that she did not meet that burden of proof, right? And so she went to trial. She was convicted. So the bottom line is that we have a justice system that often does not dispense justice. We have a Stand Your Ground law that I think emboldens some people to feel that they can, you know, be violent and then say, I was afraid. And we have a law that is not applied fairly and is not keeping anybody safer and might actually be making people you know, and not, I wouldn't even say might, which is actually causing people fear for their lives legitimately, right?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is there's no need for stand your ground. And I would also point out the way that the NRA uses this as a litmus test, I think is really telling. They're trying to punish people now who voted for a special session in Florida to actually debate and discuss a stand your ground.
Yeah, heaven forbid we do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, how dare you?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Right? And it's anyhow, it's, there's so many pieces of this that are just, you know, this is a dangerous law, and it puts people's lives in danger. We've seen it before, and it continues to happen again. It's really time to actually just get rid of stand your ground.
Amen. We'll leave it at that. And Nguzi Ndeluye, she is the Senior Director of Criminal Justice Programs, the NAACP. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. There it is. Get rid of stand your ground. That is a message I can get behind. Thank you for tuning in. We'll have more content here on this podcast a little bit later on.